Good morning. I'm Marshall Terry. It's Morning Edition here on 90.7 WFAE. If you've turned on a TV in the past 2 months, you can probably recite the political attacks in the North Carolina U.S. Senate race.
Kay Hagan said she would be different.
Tom Tillis cut $500 million from our schools.
Grants tucked away in Obama's stimulus paid the Hagans.
Tillis would also let insurance companies charge women more for health insurance.
In that blitz, it can be hard to decipher what the candidates actually accomplished in their current roles in government. Simply, what did they do in office? Tomorrow, WFAE's Ben Bradford will look at the Democratic incumbent, Senator Kay Hagan. Today, he focuses on the Republican challenger, North Carolina House Speaker Tom Tillis.
Tom Tillis has had a hand in every new law in North Carolina the past 4 years. As Speaker, he decides what bills the House votes on. Along with Senate Leader Phil Berger and Governor Pat McCrory, he's led a conservative shift that's touched nearly every aspect of state law. But Tillis says he's had one overarching focus.
Working to get our economy back on track by repealing regulations that didn't make sense and reducing taxes so businesses have more money to grow.
That's the platform Republicans ran on back in 2010. It was the depths of the recession. And in just his second term in the House, Tillis was already the minority whip, the Republicans' second in command. It was the midpoint of a rapid rise, says Davidson College political professor Susan Roberts.
He's gone very far, very fast.
With Republicans vying for control of the General Assembly, Tillis passed out rubber wristbands saying think jobs and telling members to snap themselves if they strayed from that message. More importantly, he led their fundraising. He raised $250,000 for races around the state.
And he did a very good job of it. That had a lot to do with us winning.
Representative Paul Stamm was the Republican minority leader. Republicans took over both Senate and House for the first time since the 19th century. They voted Tillis Speaker instead of Stamm. For the first 2 years, they faced opposition from Democratic Governor Bev Perdue, but Tillis pushed cuts to both taxes and state programs. He can still rattle off the bills that gained enough Democratic support to override her vetoes.
The repeal of the temporary tax, the sales tax, it was harming poor and working families more than anyone. That was $1.2 billion. The repeal of the income tax surcharges, that was $300 million. $1 billion in spending cuts because we had to balance the budget, medical malpractice reform, regulatory reform.
Republicans also controlled redistricting and gained veto-proof majorities in the House and Senate in the 2012 elections. The next year, they passed a sweeping tax overhaul. It created a lower, flat income tax rate for all income levels and removed some deductions. It also lowered the corporate income tax and eliminated the estate tax while expanding the sales tax. Tillis says it's worked.
We've had some of the best turnaround in terms of the state's economy of any state in the nation.
I don't think there's any question, and the facts are clear about this, that the majority of the tax cut went to folks at the upper end of the income scale and to corporations. There's no disputing that.
Chris Fitzsimon is the director of liberal think tank NC Policy Watch. Like many on the left, Fitzsimon says the trade-off hurt the poor and middle class.
I could talk for hours of almost, it feels like, about the unwise decisions they made, most of them, you know, in the guise of cutting the budget so they could cut taxes.
Lawmakers cut unemployment benefits to pay back a debt to the federal government. They cut state regulators and slowed the growth of the education budget. Meanwhile, they pursued a slew of other conservative priorities. They passed bills requiring voter ID, putting a same-sex marriage ban on the ballot, opening the state to fracking, rejecting Medicaid expansion, privatizing the state economic development agency. They phased out teacher tenure, added school vouchers, relaxed gun laws, and restricted abortion coverage. The speed and scope of the changes inspired a backlash from the left that grew into the Moral Monday protests. More than 1,000 have intentionally been arrested in acts of civil disobedience at the state capitol. Tillis denies he's pushing the far-right agenda his opponents accuse. Election analytics site CrowdPack estimates he falls right in the center of the Republican Party. Tillis says he's at times acted as a voice of moderation against the more conservative state Senate. For instance, in the clash this summer over teacher pay raises.
I would have loved to have given the teachers an even bigger raise than 7%, but the Senate proposal would have required us to fire teacher assistants and teachers.
Now, Governor Pat McCrory's office says it's actually a 5.5% raise. The Senate wanted 11, and the divide created hard feelings between the two chambers. Senators even walked out of one negotiation. The bad blood then extended to fights over coal ash disposal, and even when the legislature would adjourn. When lawmakers finally did go home, the campaign kicked into high gear.
A 7% pay raise. That's what we passed this year for North Carolina.
And teacher pay raises became a key talking point for the Tillis campaign. For WFAE News, I'm Ben Bradford in Charlotte.
Tomorrow, Ben will take a similar look at Senator Kay Hagan.